Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, wasn't with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Believe in joy. It's Easter day, and the day is full of strangeness. The folks who went to the tomb this morning came back with a frightful story. The body of our Lord is missing. It's gone. Somebody took it. We don't know where they put it. So some have come back, some of the women came back telling us that they had seen the Lord, but that doesn't seem possible. And it's only been a couple days since we saw Jesus arrested and tried in a kangaroo court, accused of things he never did, and judged guilty. Sentenced to death, crucified on a cross. We saw him die. The disciples are afraid. Fear is overcoming this collection of faithful followers. Fear that they might be next on the list. Fear that even now, the high priests and the scribes and the Roman authorities are sensing the opportunity of the moment. The opportunity that the leader is gone. Now we can scoop up the followers and be rid of this problem. And so they gather all together in a safe house, locking the doors so that none can come in. But it's in the midst of that fear of death, that anxiety, that grief, that Jesus comes. In the midst of all of those emotions, all of those things, Jesus comes, stands among them, and says, "Peace be with you." Showing his disciples his hands and his side, saying, "Look, it's me. You can tell by these marks. You know what I went through. You saw it. It indeed happened. I bear the marks of it in my body." And when they see it, their fear is transformed. And the disciples rejoiced. Some translations say the disciples were overcome by joy. When we read that sentence in our gospel reading, we can skip over that part so quickly. Their fear is so palatable, so palpable, that their joy is so surprising. It's not just a, "Oh, hooray, it's you." This is the disciple seeing Jesus, saying, "Oh my goodness, oh my God, Jesus, you're alive. Jesus lives. Jesus is alive." Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the surprise? Can you imagine the wonder and the amazement? There must have been dancing and shouting. There must have been weeping. There must have been so much joy and shock. You've felt that joy. You know what it's like when something amazing happens that you'd never expected. When the call comes that you always dreamed of but never expected you would actually get. When the news shows up. Maybe it was at the birth of your child. Maybe it was on the day where you stood up to marry your beloved and they said, "Indeed, yes, I take you to be my spouse." There is a joy and a surprise in the good things in life. Good things that we never expect, really, or worry that maybe we don't fully deserve. Fear. Anxiety, stress is all around us, always threatening to grasp it off. But when that joy comes, Jesus shows up and says, "Here I am, see me." And in seeing God, they feel that. And it's not just their joy that they're feeling. It's not their joy that's overcoming them. It is the joy of the resurrection of God. For in this joy, in this resurrection, they see that this isn't just limited to this one man, but this is a joy that is meant for all of us that we are wrapped up in, and Jesus comes to share that with them. And so they are enraptured by it. Jesus says to them, okay, I've got a couple other things to say here. Peace be with you. Now here's an important part. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven." The joy continues with a commission that Jesus shares. And they go out from there, speaking of it with the others who weren't there, like Thomas. Thomas, who was unfortunate not to be there. Can you imagine Thomas's situation? Here are his friends, his compatriots, those he followed Jesus with, those he watched Jesus die with. And here they come and they are glowing with joy. They are astounded by what they have seen. They are so enraptured by what they have experienced. And Thomas, well, He doesn't quite get on board, does he? There's something that keeps him cut off from their joy. We are made to feel the joy and the other emotions of one another. We are built by God for compassion. You know this. When you see a movie where there's a happy, joyful scene, you feel it in your body. When you see a child playing and enjoying themselves with such abandon, you feel it in your smile. When you see the joy of another, you feel it. Unless, like Thomas, compassion is blocked by envy. Thomas is envious. He says, well, what about me? I mean, that's fine for you, I guess, but I wasn't there. Like, you can have whatever that is. I don't trust it. I want it, though. I'm jealous. No, I want to see the mark of the nails. I want to see the side. And I don't just want to see them, I want to feel them. Because what you're feeling, I want to feel. I need to feel, and I can't feel it. So I'm cut off. And even in this envy, even in this jealousy, when they are together again a week later, Thomas with them this time, he's not going to miss out anymore. The doors of the house are shut again. Jesus comes again, says, peace be with you. Thomas, look, here I am. And Thomas, finally, the envy breaks through, breaks down. And his words, my Lord and my God, are the first words of the Gospel of John proclaimed by the person that acknowledged the divinity of Jesus. My Lord and my God. Believe, Jesus says. Do not doubt, but believe. Believe that this joy is possible. Believe that this joy is enough, that this joy is for you, that you need not be on the sidelines of this, but it is for you. Believe in the possibility of joy, yes, even when the worst is done. Look at the marks of the nails on my hands. I bear them, touch them. Feel my side where the sword pierced me, where the spear ran through me. And know that even in the most dire of circumstances, that the joy of life will never be quenched. That joy can overcome it all. Believe in the joy of God. It can be hard to believe in the joy and to trust it, especially when life is hard. It can be hard when we're not used to doing it. We can grow weak in our capacity to trust God's joy, this joy of the resurrection, when we are lax about our practice with it. Our spiritual practices return us to this message of life that will not be destroyed, of joy that will not be darkened. And yet, when we don't avail ourselves of these practices, of the gathering together in community of faith, of the singing of this joy together, of the remembrance of the joy of our baptism together, of the sharing of the meal of joy together, when we are lax in our practices of this, that spiritual muscle of trust and joy and faith, it atrophies. But just as it can atrophy, so can it be strengthened. That our capacity for belief in the joy of God is a spiritual muscle that can be developed and strengthened through the act of trust and engaging in it. Yes, our capacity for joy can be blocked by many things in this life. It can be blocked by fear, by stress. It can be blocked by envy. It can be blocked by anxiety or frustration or anger or sadness or grief, despair or loneliness. It can be blocked by our experience of illness or our fear of death. But in all of these things, in spite of all these things and through all these things, Jesus shows up embodying these things. He says, I suffered. I was frustrated in my message. All the anxieties of this. Here they are. I faced even our greatest fear of death. And in this, I want to show you now how to still find joy. And so listen to this part because it's important. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. As the Father has sent me. How did the Father send Jesus? What was the purpose of Jesus' walk and life? What was that mission? It's wrapped up in the words of Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who speaks about joy, saying our greatest joy is when we seek to do good for others. Ultimately and simply, this was the mission of Christ, seeking to do good for others. All others. Jesus lives for others, saying to us, others are worth living for. And so when you are sent by Jesus as the Father has sent him, you are sent out to also live for others. And recognize and experience and trust that others are worth living for. And when you seek the joy of others, not just the joy of yourself, for seeking after the joy of your own heart, you'll never find it. But seeking the joy of others, you'll find it every time. Trusting in the faith that drives you out, that sends you out, convicted by the example of Jesus in this work. Staking your life upon this, seeking the joy of others, even in the most dire of circumstances. Turning outwards to the world, believing and trusting in joy. And that there is enough joy to go around. That it's no zero-sum game when it comes to joy, but joy is grown when it is shared. Then joy shall surely find you, says the Lord. Peace will be upon you, says the Lord. My peace be with you, says the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice. My Lord and my God. Amen.